This is the brief account of the tale of Gunasen and Agni Sharma. Agni Sharma, the son of a Brahmin, was awfully deformed. His head was triangular, chest narrow, his stomach bulged over his thin legs, his eyes were sunken and his teeth protruded. He was snubbed, mocked and ridiculed at the hands of Prince Gunasen. When Agni Sharma could no longer bear the cruel attacks and jeering anymore, he decided to leave his home and his city in secret. At a hermitage located in a jungle, miles away from the safety of his home, he observed ascetics performing various religious austerities. The Kulapati took notice and consoled the lost Agni Sharma. This had a deep effect on him, which led him to take not only the vow of renunciation, the act of becoming a hermit, but also the arduous vow of Masakshaman. This vow of penance could be broken by visiting only one home in order to seek and obtain food in whatever measure so as to observe his parna. He could not visit or seek food from another home if he was unable to procure sustenance in the home he first visited. With that, he would then begin his Masakshaman once again. This concept was not new to Agni Sharma. He lived in times where people had long lifespans and many had practiced Masakshaman. He understood the theory of karma well and was not offended, nor did he protest against what could be viewed as injustice. As time went by, Prince Gunasen became king. He visited the jungle hermitage where Agni Sharma now lived. But a long time had passed and neither recognized the other. The king was impressed by the onerous vow taken by Agni Sharma. Curious, he asked what led him to take it. Agni Sharma named Gunasen as the reason for having undertaken the oath. As they spoke, recognition dawned upon them and they greeted each other with utmost devotion. Gunasen invited Agni Sharma to his palace to break his month-long fast and the hermit accepted. When Agni Sharma arrived at the palace on the day of the Parna, there was no one to receive him. Gunasen had completely forgotten about the Parna because he had a terrible headache. After having waited for a while, Agni Sharma saw no other option but to return to the hermitage without having broken his fast. He had become highly proficient in practicing austerities with equanimity. Once Gunasen recovered from his headache, he remembered his error in forgetting his invitation and was extremely repentant. He went to the hermitage to seek Agni Sharma's forgiveness and besieged him for another chance. Agni Sharma accepted the invitation as he bore no indignation towards Gunasen. On the promised day, Gunasen was once again occupied with preparing for an unexpected attack on his kingdom by his enemy. He missed the second Parna too. On remembering, he ran back to the palace. But on his way there, he met Agni Sharma, who was returning to the hermitage. Gunasen pleaded with him most sincerely to come back to the palace for Parna, but Agni Sharma would not compromise with his vow. Agni Sharma thus began his third Masakshaman. Gunasen was extremely distressed and full of remorse for not having fulfilled his commitment. To comfort him, Agni Sharma decided to give him another opportunity to organize his Parna. He realized that it was his own demeritorious karmas which did not allow his parna to be conducted by Gunasen. He did not hold any grudge or anger towards Gunasen, as he believed his own karmas were to be blamed. He was in an unprecedented, equanimous state of mind. At the end of the third month, Agni Sharma arrived at the palace in order to break his third Masakshaman. But it had so transpired that the queen had given birth to their firstborn son on that very day. The entire royal family was ecstatic and was in a celebratory mood. There was no one at the gate to accord Agni Sharma a warm welcome. After waiting for a while, he turned back. Although this time, his thought process changed. He remembered how mercilessly he was ridiculed when he was young. Moreover, he had missed out on observing his Parna thrice. He began to wonder if Gunasen was finding excuses to mock him again. He unwittingly began believing Gunasen to be his enemy. His heart was inflamed with rage and his anger knew no bounds. He made a niyana. For all the intense austerities performed by me so far, my reward should be that in all lives to come, I become Gunasena's killer. On hearing this, the Kulapati and the other hermits felt deeply anguished. They tried to talk sense to him, but to no avail. Agni Sharma had his mind set on animosity. He took a vow to fast unto death. From his birth as Gunasena to his birth as Samar Aditya, Gunasena's soul was born as human for 9 lives. He and Agni Sharma were reborn in intimate relationships of either father and son, mother and son, husband and wife, or as brothers. In spite of deep bonds he shared with Gunasena, Agni Sharma lived each of his 9 lives bearing intense hatred and enmity towards Gunasena and killing him in every life. Gunasena, on the other hand, kept advancing in the reflection of equanimity and stuttered his accent of heavenly abodes, one higher than the previous one. In his human lives, he continued acquiring more and more prosperity and started climbing the ladder of spiritual evolution. At the end, in his birth as Samar Aditya, he dissipated all his 8 karmas and attained liberation. Agni Sharma's soul will be confined to a hellish existence and other degraded realms of existence for the longest period of time, where he will undergo untold misery. Kulapati means the head of a monastery. Masakshaman means continuous fast for a month. Parna means breaking of the fast. Niyanu means to desire a mundane reward for all the austerities and meritorious deeds performed during one's lifetime.